Mount Chapel. I think it's been maybe 5 years last time we were here, or I was here. That's my wife Shelley is sitting over here, her first time. So it's great to be here. Steve had suggested we do something a little bit different. You notice the tables are different. He wanted to give a little of experience of one of our main the things that we do in Ukraine is we reach out to university students and young adults using English as a way to help serve them, help them practice their English. But at the same time, we want to share with them a little bit about Jesus and help them experience what it means to live in relationship with Jesus Christ. And through that, as they have that experience, many of them begin to think, wow, I used to think Christians were boring. I didn't think Christians had any fun. In fact, I thought Christianity was something that was a myth. The Bible was full of myth. And as they interact with Christians and begin to experience that, wow, these people are interesting people and they're intelligent and they have fun. And the Bible really has a lot of interesting things to say about things I care about. A lot of them either make decisions to follow Jesus or become interested and want to follow with us. But Steve had asked us this morning maybe to do something a little different and give you a taste of what English camp is like. So we had talked about maybe trying a little bit of a game. I don't know if that feels a little not very good to do on a Sunday morning, but I hope that maybe it's something that might be kind of interesting for you and give you a little bit of an experience of something that we do at camp. And we try to make them fun and interesting and helpful for their English, but at the same time, sharing about the Lord. So this morning, to start out, we wanted to play a little game together that we play at camp. And I'm doing right here, Steve, yeah? Okay. I'm sorry. I thought you were looking at me funny. it's called Pictionary. So I don't know if anyone has heard of that. I think it's kind of a pretty famous game. And but to play it, we need to be at the tables. And I think we have four tables on each side. If we could, I don't know if people that are sitting at other tables, if you wouldn't mind moving in and maybe filling in. I think this table is kind of small, so maybe you guys could join that table. Yeah, actually, David and Robin, I need you to help me. The paper, yeah, if you could spread out the paper. Okay. And pins.
Like a couple pins.
Okay, Robin. Yeah. Okay.
I can go to the back too.
Okay, David, you know how to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Robin, the way this you work is you'll show if you have two tables, you have that for one table, that for the other. You show them the first word, and then when they get that word, you move it down and show them the next word.
Okay, one word at a time.
Right. Uh huh. So you start.
What do they have to do?
So they'll go around and they'll draw a picture and they have to guess the word. I'll explain it, yeah. All right, let me go ahead and explain. If I can have your attention one more time. So what we're going to do is I have here in my hands a list of 15, or no, actually it's 10 words. 10 words. And what you're going to do is each table you will come to a person and look for your word, and then you have to go back to your table and draw a picture to get your people on your table to guess the word. Now, you can't write the word. You can't, write letters or anything like that. You don't use gestures, okay? This is drawing. So some of you may think, well, I cannot draw. I am a terrible artist. That's okay. You don't have to be a great artist to do a good job at this game. Sometimes the really good artists are too detailed in their pictures. So Anyway, so what you do is you'll kind of pick an order at your table. The first person will come up and stand next to, so these two tables, you're going to come to David. These next two tables, you'll come to Robin. And then the last two tables will go to Shelley to get your word. And so we'll start out with, you'll pick one person from each table to come to the person and get your first word. Once they get the word, they go back, they draw. And once the word is guessed, the next person comes up and gets the next word and then does the same thing. And you just go around in a circle and everyone draws. If for some reason there's someone at your table that it's difficult for them to walk and you don't want to run up and get, maybe you can just skip over them and they can guess, but not necessarily draw. OK. And does everyone understand the rules? Are there any questions? And the important rule, let me give you one last rule that's very important. If I can, when you when you finish, when you get all 10 of your words, then this is a really important rule. If you want to win, you have to raise your hands and go like, blah, 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 blah. Can you do that? How about we practice? Can everyone do that? Raise your hands and go, blah, 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 blah. Okay, that's the favorite part at camp. Okay, so why don't you go ahead and each table, one person from your table go up and be ready to look at your word. We'll do it all together, yeah? Yeah, yeah, okay. Okay, are we ready? Is everyone at their person? Oh, did you already give your word, Robin? Oh, okay, go ahead and give your words. Yeah, if you don't want the other teams to guess, don't speak it out too loudly. Okay, you ready for the next one? Oh, you ready, Sandra? Here, John, do you want to sit here? We can move that. Number four there, yeah. That second part is in Russian. Oh, is it an American word? Oh, right here. Yeah. Uh-huh. Which word?
Are you thinking American then?
Oh. Go ahead, David. Oh. There we This is the last word. Last word. Mm-hmm. Okay, second. Well, keep going. If you haven't finished, you can go a little bit more. If you guys were second, you almost made first. Good for you. All right. So is this the last word on them? Okay. Okay, that's good. I think we'll stop it. All right, great job. Well, what did you think? Do you think you can do that kind of game? Yeah. Was it fun? Yeah, it's kind of fun. Shelley mentioned that you all are not quite as noisy as the Ukrainians. Of course, it has a little higher ceiling in this room, too. Maybe that helps. But in any case, could be the British are quieter, huh? More reserved and cultured, yeah? Well, but that's usually just one of the fun activities that we like to do at our camps. But they're lots of fun. We have games indoor and outdoor, and that's one of the more popular ones. I guess the way we decided is we're going to let Robin kind of share for a little bit now, and then we would come back and finish and tell more about our camps and our ministry. So why don't you add, Robin?
It's still morning, so good morning.
Morning.
David and I noticed that nobody sat beside the people from Northern Ireland. But everybody wanted to sit beside the Americans. So, it is good to be here. It's good to have fellowship with you this morning. And first of all, on behalf of One Mission Society, we send your greetings from One Mission Society to you as a church. And we'd like to say thank you for standing with us and praying for us and also sending people out as well. So, One Mission Society, we were founded in 1901. In Japan, and since 1901 we have moved into over 75 countries around the world. Men for Missions that I oversee within the United Kingdom, Men for Missions was started in 1954, and we go out to really encourage the missionaries. We go out to stand with the missionaries practically and also prayerfully. So, next slide. Our mission statement is, Men for Missions challenges men to do, go and give in total obedience to Jesus Christ. As a layman's organization, we're everything for men. But ladies, don't go to sleep, because we need you to send your husbands, send your sons out with us. We also need you to come out onto the field with us, because we are more than happy to have you on the field with Men for Missions to do the practical work. If you can build, if you can plumb, come with us. You can talk. You can share with other female missionaries. I'm sure if Shelley was up standing here, she would say it's always good to have English-speaking people out to pray with them, to share with her. That is a vital part of what you ladies can do on a Men for Missions team, to come out and just to be there for the female missionary on the field. Next slide, please. I was asked by Sandra to do a couple of wee questions, so just hands up. In what year was One Mission founded? Was it, next slide, 1701, 1801, 1901? Who's going for A, B, C? Yous are listening. That is good, isn't it, Randy? Next slide, please. Just to bring me up to date with family, this is our extended family now. On your left-hand side is our youngest daughter, Leanne. The one in the wedding dress is our eldest daughter, Stephanie, married to William back on the 21st of April. And my wife then beside that. For those people who like the Game of Thrones, this is Ballantoy Harbour, and the Game of Thrones is filmed at Ballantoy Harbour in Northern Ireland. So this is the family. Please keep praying for us as we travel. I've been away for 10 days and left them at home, and please pray for us. I have prayer cards in the back table. Please lift a prayer card and sign up for a prayer letter as well on the back of the card. Next slide. Which country has the largest slum in Africa? Next slide. Mozambique. Anybody from Mozambique? Anybody for Kenya? One for Kenya. South Africa? Answer is Kenya. Next slide. Men for Missions, we do practical work, but we also stand with the missionary on different areas as well. Dick McLeish from America, myself, went out to Kenya last October to do a survey trip to see how we within the United Kingdom could stand with the Kenyan field. Next slide. The Word of Truth Church, this is in Nairobi. It's in one of is in the largest slum in Nairobi. And these pastors are very, very poor. These pastors will never go to a Bible college. A lot of them will never own the books that you and I have on our bookshelves. We were asked to come out and to share with, there was about 25 pastors, we shared on budgeting, planning, and stewardship. What God's Word says about tithing, we were able to share with them. We stood from 10 o'clock in the morning to 3:30 in the afternoon, just sharing our experiences, sharing what we know from God's Word. I would like to go, I've been asked back to go and share with these people once again on marriage. These church leaders need people to go out, share on how to run a church, how to do a Sunday schools, how to do women's work, men's work. to ordinary laymen. And remember, 99% of the church is made up of people sitting in the pews. So we as laymen, under God's word in Matthew 28, we are called to go. Go into all the world. There's an opportunity in Kenya just to share how we do church, whether it's ladies' work, children's work, youth work. These people are crying out for us to share with them. Next slide. Radio 4, VEH in Haiti. It's been in the news over a number of days now. Praise God, the radio station has had the opportunity to give weather updates and such like across the time of the hurricane. Next slide. Went out a number of years ago to share in Haiti. The mission has produced a small radio, fixed-tuned, solar-powered, and we were able to go out and share our testimonies. Meet the people in the streets, in their homes, tell them about Jesus Christ, and then be able to give them an opportunity to respond. Many of these people in Haiti will respond on their first hearing of the gospel. We leave a solar-powered radio with them, and they sit and listen to God's word 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, if they desire to do so. The opportunities are wide open if you want to come onto the mission field with us. Next slide. Men for Missions, yes, we're practical. We do evangelism. We also do prayer work. Prayer work is the most important work that any one of us can do if we know and love Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Prayer is the powerhouse. As a homeland missionary, as I go around the Holy United Kingdom, I meet people who I do not know, and they say, I read about you. I pray for you. And it's good to meet you now. That is so humbling to know that people that I do not know are taking us as a family upon their hearts. Please pray for the missionaries, whether they're homeland staff or out on foreign fields. We all need your prayers. We work in the south of Ireland. Remember, the south of Ireland, there are, as an English-speaking nation, the south of Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, has less evangelical Christians than any other English-speaking nation. There's more evangelical Christians in North Korea than there is in the south of Ireland. It's on our doorstep. Pray for the south of Ireland. Come over with us as we work in the south. There's opportunities, prayer opportunities. Last Sunday in July, Croagh-Patrick, I don't have time to go there now, Croagh-Patrick, 2,510 feet. Many pilgrims will climb in their bare feet. We go down to give out juice and a gospel leaflet to meet the pilgrims at the point of their needs. Numbers are getting saved each year. Come over with us to Croagh-Patrick last Sunday in July. Next slide. Work at head office. We have the head office in Manchester, Sandilay Avenue in Didsbury. So we had a work team there on Friday, so I'm just coming from a work team just to keep the office tidy and keep it in good shape. Next slide. We need people. We need men and women to come out onto the mission field. Men for Missions take ordinary working men and women. Whatever your job is, You don't have to be a builder, plumber, carpenter. If you just stand beside the sink and wash dishes and do the housework, come for a few days, come for a week, come for 2 weeks. Come out onto the mission field, meet the missionaries, get to know them, get to know what they're doing and how they're doing it. Travel with them, meet the people they're working with, and then whenever you come back home to your home church, to your work, to your family, you will be able to pray more intelligently for the missionary. We have a team going to Belgium 14th to the 21st of April next year. Hungary. And we're talking with Randy about Ukraine. There's an opportunity and we're working on it. Opportunity for a work team to build a volleyball court. We're going to hear how you could go out to teach English and be part of that English camp. I'm going to put my neck here on the line and say, we're talking about prayer teams. So that you can come out and pray with the groups, the churches, around the two universities that you work in. So if you have a heart for prayer, there's an opportunity. So please, keep praying. Keep praying for us as missionaries. There's a work to be done. Sandra and Joy have a prayer meeting. And since July of this year, the mission has asked me to try and encourage prayer groups. Because prayer is what we breathe as Christians. It's our lifeblood. It should be our passion. And the church in the United Kingdom and the church in the Western world has lost prayer. And losing prayer. Sandra and Joy in Joy's house. First Tuesday night of every month. They meet together to pray for one mission society. Pray for their families. Pray for the work. God's work. Not one mission society's work, but God's work. I encourage you. If you have a heart for prayer, if you go away from here today encouraged about the work of One Mission Society, please take time on a first Tuesday of every night. Nighttime? Evening? Evening. You know Sandra and Joy, ask them what time. And pray for One Mission Society. Pray for us that God's hand will be upon us. The devil's out there attacking. He doesn't want us to be doing what we're doing. We're working for the kingdom. We're only servants, slaves of the master. But we need your prayers. We need you to stand with us. So please come, stand with us in prayer and Joy's house. Come out with us onto the mission field short term. Whether it's across some other country, but we're talking about Ukraine. The opportunities are there today. Pray about them. Seek God's face. What age groups? Ben for missions, our oldest man is 95 years of age. He only stopped coming out in mission teams at 86 years of age. Because the insurance got too costly for him. There's no age gap. There's no gender difference. If you know and love him, the opportunities are there. Come with us. Thank you.
Right.
I didn't turn my voice on. Did anyone hear that? Do I need to repeat? Or anyway, I was just saying thank you for your partnership over the years with us in the work in Ukraine. And so is the PowerPoint ready? Or yeah, okay. So we can go ahead and get started then. I just wanted to give you a reminder for where Ukraine is located. Most of you should know, being part of Europe, Ukraine is just right there next to Russia, just under Belarus, to the east of Poland. And we work in the capital city there, Kiev, right there in the center of the map. I know we traditionally in America and here in the UK say Kiev, but in Ukraine they say Kyiv. So if I say Kyiv, that's what I'm talking about, is Kiev. And so it's a city of about 2.5 million people. Actually, they say maybe as many as 5 million, particularly because in recent last couple of years, you've been familiar with the news about the conflict that's been going on in eastern part of Ukraine, where there has been a separatist movement, and Russia has been kind of involved in stirring some things up there in the east. And because of that, a lot of people have moved out of that part of Ukraine and have moved to Kyiv. So it could be more than 5 million people actually in the city now. But it's a beautiful city with the Dnieper River that runs through, and just a great place to work. Let's go to the next slide. This is our team that is there. So you can see my wife and I, Shelley. And you can also see two guys. The two guys in the picture have been with us for several years, but the two girls just joined us this fall. They actually are veterans for our camps. They've been to camps a couple of times, probably four or five times over the years, and just decided we're going to extend for a year. So if you're ever thinking about trying missions, you could come for a short term, maybe a camp for 10 days. And then who knows, maybe God would call you to try for a year, and then who knows, maybe for a lifetime. That's kind of what happened with Shelley and I. We were initially both went on short-term trips for like a week or two and realized, wow, there's something to this, something that we really enjoy partnering with God in this way. And then decided to go out in a longer-term basis for a year program. And pretty soon now we've been in it for 20 years. So it's interesting how God works, but it's great to be partnering with Him in His work. So next slide. Our ministry in Ukraine, this is kind of a focus for us. Everyone's familiar with the Great Commission to go and make disciples. And that's what our focus is we want to help Ukrainians become disciples. Now, a disciple is not someone that just comes and participates in a church meeting, but a disciple is someone who's going out and teaching others. And teaching them to obey everything that Jesus commanded. And that's what our focus is we try to, people that come to the Lord, we disciple them and help them to gather into small groups and train them up to become leaders of groups, train them up to be sharing their faith and reaching out to others. Next slide. And so this is kind of 2 Timothy 2:2. I'm sure you're familiar. The things you've heard me share in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who can teach others. You got four generations of disciples there. You have Paul, you have the person that he's teaching, you have him teaching that to others who then can teach others. So it's four generations. And that's what discipleship is all about, is you take what you learn, even if you're just one step ahead of someone else, you take that and you pass it on to someone who can then take and share that with someone else. And that's kind of our focus. We aren't looking to try to train up people to be theologically perfect, and then they can begin to teach. But no, we say, okay, here, we just told you this. Can you come away and go share it with someone else right away? And that's what our focus of our ministry is. Next slide. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the English camps. Then I'm going to invite David to come up and share his experience of what that's like. But this is kind of the start of our ministry year each year. In the summertime, we have two camps, one in July for 10 days and one in August. And people come from the United Kingdom, from the United States, from Canada and New Zealand and Australia, teams of about 10 to 15 people. And then we invite about 25 to 30 English-speaking Ukrainian university students and spend 10 days together in a forested area near Kyiv. Next slide. So you can see it's a beautiful place where we go. And it's kind of a just a retreat center that we live together for 10 days. We play games. You saw the Pictionary that we played earlier. So we'll do games like that. But we also have outdoor activities. Next slide. Here we are welcoming them to the camp this summer. Next slide. And you see outdoor, we'll play games where we have to pass a hula hoop through a string of people without letting go of your hands. Next slide. Or pass a Cheerio. I don't know what you call those. We call them Cheerios. On toothpicks from person to person. That's a bit challenging, especially when you start to get old enough you can't see very well. Close. Next slide. But indoors, this is just the team that won the Pictionary game going. Next slide. But we love water games, especially in the summertime. It can get quite hot. And so we have a day where we'll pour water all over each other. And here they're trying to squirt shaving cream off of my youngest son's face. Next slide. Of course, the main focus of the camp, well, we want to help them with their English, help them practice. So it's a service that we do. They have a lot of knowledge, but no opportunity to speak with native speakers. And by communicating with us through 10 days, they say that, wow, by the end of camp, I'm dreaming in English. It really helps them. And so we see it as a great service. But we also are wanting them to show them what it means to live in a relationship with Jesus Christ. So we have opportunities where we'll do a discussion group time. We're going to try one of those over our lunch period today. You get to experience kind of one of the discussion group times that we do at camp. So while you're eating, you can talk with each other over a topic. We're going to talk about friendship today. But we have 5 discussion group times where we talk about a topic like friendship or extreme sports or beauty. And then we also will do a Bible discussion as part of that. And to help get them to understand that the Bible has something special to say about many topics that they're interested in. Then we also will show a film about Jesus and then talk about it. So that's kind of how the camp works. Besides helping them to have a great time, practice their English, we show them what it means to live in relationship with Jesus. So I want to give David a chance to come up and share a little bit about his experience and why he keeps coming back to camp, and then share a video about his wife who came to the Lord through the camps. So.
That's great. Thank you. Well, for me, the journey started like Sandra. I think it was way back at the very first camp, 2004, was it? Well, in 2011, my journey really in Ukraine started, all because Randy came over to Northern Ireland and basically shared, like he's doing today. And then, little did I know that God was going to call me to go out to Ukraine as well. I did camps for many years over in the south of Ireland in Donegal. Loved camps. So I was looking for a new challenge, and I definitely got a new challenge, but one that was absolutely amazing. And I think that quite often, God calls us to do things maybe we don't expect, as I think it was said earlier on. He calls us out of our comfort zones. And for me, it was very much out of my comfort zone. First of all, it's a different culture. It's a different country, and I was like, "Oh, Ed, are they going to speak really good English? What are they going to be like? Are they going to like me? Are they going to understand this Northern Ireland accent?" And all those kind of questions came through my head. But then, why do I keep going back? Because 2011, 2012, 2013, and this year, 2016, for my fourth camp, I think, as Randy said, one of the aims of camp is to help teach them English. So I love giving them the opportunity, this has given them first-hand experience, first sort of hand opportunity, to practice their English and really just help to build those friendships. And through English, we can break down those initial barriers and really start to look into their lives and see really where they're at in their lives. And I think secondly, I mentioned it's a huge cultural exchange. You know, I mean, for me, I love going to new places. I love meeting new people. In Ukraine, it's a beautiful, beautiful country. It's full of beautiful people. And it's a country that's really seeking. It's a country that's looking for answers and a country that's definitely looking for hope. You know, and obviously with everything that's been happening, it seems that sometimes no one can provide them with hope. You know, I mean, that no president can do that for them. But we know that God can bring that true hope that they need. And I think finally then, as Randy said, why do I keep coming back? Because I love telling the students about a God who wants to have a relationship with them, about a God who loves them, and about a God who can change their lives. And over the years, as Sandra will say, he's changed many lives of those students, and it's so good to see them going on with God, growing and through these discipleship programs. And like, that's why I love going back, you know, I mean, just to see God working, to see him shaping and changing their lives. And if anyone is thinking, like, you know, I mean, of going out, I really, really would recommend it. You know, I mean, it's a fantastic 10 days, and but you don't have to, you know, I mean, you don't have to be the most sporty, energetic person in the world. You know, I mean, there's things for everyone to get involved in. You know, I mean, like prayer. You know, I mean, prayer is so important. Every morning we meet as a team to pray for the students, to pray for individual needs at camp, and it's central to everything that happens at the camp. So, yeah, that's why I keep going back around. Oh, yes. So if we can put the little video up, as Randy said, yes, this is my wife sharing her testimony, and so over to her.